I'm going to ask if you would turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, it's in the New Testament. I'll give you a moment to find that. While you're turning there, I'd like for you to listen very carefully. Before we open the Word and study it today, which we will in earnest, I need to speak plainly about what's happened this week. All of you have seen and heard, I know, the news of Charlie Kirk's murder. And it has deeply affected me in ways I did not expect. I admired Charlie and his work as a conservative Christian apologist. He was a defender and a champion of the Christian faith and of the Judeo-Christian beliefs and truths on which this country was founded and rooted. However you've known his name, whether you've agreed or disagreed with him, this is a tragedy. A husband, a father, a young man of 31 in his prime, gunned down in what's being called a political assassination. When hatred boils over into violence, it's not just a political problem. I'm telling you, it is a spiritual problem. It is sin, and it is evil and demonic at its core. And sin always seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It always has, and it always will. This is where we, the church, must be different. We do not answer to hate with more hate. We do not fight darkness by becoming darker ourselves. We overcome hate and evil with the love and the power of Christ. And we hold the line of truth, but we do it with the Spirit of Christ within us. So I want to call us today not into fear, not into rage, but into courage. Courage to grieve, courage to pray, courage to stand as the light of Christ in a world that is and will be growing darker. This senseless killing of Charlie has struck a deep chord in America at this moment in time. It seems like it hits different, doesn't it? I personally sense God's hand at work in it to bring glory to himself, to draw men and women to seek his face. Have you seen the images coming from Angel Stadium in California? Across stadiums in our land, even just yesterday. I also believe that God intends to strengthen the bride of Christ to stand with courage against the persecution and pressures of living in but not of a sin-filled culture. Listen, America has not known persecution like the rest of the world has known persecution. What's happened this week is not unusual in other places. You understand that. But I'm telling you, persecution for the cause of Christ is here. And we've had the ramp on in subtle ways. But evil has no bounds. And it will continue. And as it continues, we must continue to stand firm in courage and in strength and in faith. You understand that? I truly pray that God would use this as a catalyst for revival of the people of God around the world. And perhaps a catalyst for revival in our own lives. How would you have me stand for truth and courage in a dark world? See, that's the question for me. So, I want us to pray right now for Charlie's wife, for his children, and for this nation. Because if there was ever a moment for the people of God to rise above the noise and shine with holy conviction, it's now. Would you join me in prayer? God, we don't understand. We don't. The killing of Charlie this week seems senseless. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like he's family, perhaps because of he's part of the family of God. I'm not quite sure why it hits different than any other. In the end, it's not really about Charlie. It's just another reminder of the evil in which we're called to stand and be a light in. That's all. So we don't make this about him, we make it about you. And only the healing that you can bring to all of us and to this country. I pray that you do something supernatural and abundant above what we could ever imagine that could come from this. Would you teach us, would you make us wise in this moment, open our eyes to the spiritual things around us, to the warfare that's happening all around us every day. And would you empower us by your Spirit to speak boldly, but with the power of your Spirit in truth and in love. May your church rise up in this moment and be your hands and feet to a hurting world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You ready to study the Word? You okay with that? Okay. Because I tell you, there's nothing that can teach us and carry us more than the Word of God. And we need it. Galatians chapter 5, we've been on a journey together. We've been on a journey together. Week 1, we laid the foundation that Jesus sets us free. See, this is what I wish the world could know. This is what I wish the world could know, that Jesus will set you free. He will. If you're listening to me today, I want you to know that the person of Christ can set you free from whatever bondage you find yourself in, whatever broken world that you're in, whatever hurting that you feel, whatever chaos that you're experiencing, Jesus can set you free. It can set you free. Jesus can set you free. Week 2, that we talked about the battle within. The war in our minds, that's where the war is waged. We saw that play out this week. Week 3, we leaned into forgiving others. And I'm telling you, that's where we're going to have a challenge, is forgiving. Forgiving breaks the chains of guilt, bitterness that we have, anger that we have, that we hold on to, that stops us from being free. Last week, we exposed fear and that demonic plague of fear and how it isolates our faith. Today is we come to the heart of how freedom actually works. Here's a foundational truth that I want to say to get us started. You don't drift into freedom. You don't stumble into a spirit-filled life. Freedom's not maintained by your willpower. I'm telling you, it's sustained by a relationship with Christ. A pastor once said, and I quote him, "The spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It's a part and parcel of the total plan of God for His people." It's His plan for us to walk and be free in the Spirit of God today. So the question isn't, do you want to walk in freedom? Because if I asked everyone in this room, I'm sure you'd say, yes, I do. And it's in our DNA to want to be free. We want to be free. I don't have to ask you that question. The question is, who's leading you into freedom? Whose hand are you holding into freedom? If you're holding one at all. That's what we're going to discover today. The title of this message is Walking in the Spirit's Power. I'm going to ask if you would stand in the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to begin in Galatians 5, starting verse 16. We're going to go through 25. But before we do, would you pray specifically now and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and to focus our hearts and our minds, help us to rise above our circumstances this week and to understand what He's trying to say to us through the Word. Would you do that? Father, we need You now. Lord, we're so distracted. Our hearts are so heavy, and we don't ignore it, God. We don't ignore that, and You know where we are. So, Lord, would You swoop down in this moment? Would You rest in our presence, God? Give us that peace that we need so that we can dive into Your Word, understand what You're saying to us, and would You lather the application on us right now? God, we need You. We trust You, Lord. Work in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain standing. Here we go. We're reading in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. That's freeing in and of itself right there. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. See if this rings a bell. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Does that ring a bell to anything that we've experienced this week at all? Of course it does. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So in other words, if you're actively practicing in those kinds of things, you're not a believer. But the Holy Spirit produces something. It produces fruit in our lives. Here it is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what's the words? Self-control. There's no law against those things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We'll stop there. God bless the reading of His Word. You can be seated. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to do so today because I believe that the Lord wants to speak to all of us in this room, here's number one in being free by the Spirit's power. Number one, the Spirit breaks the power of the flesh. The Spirit breaks the power of the flesh. Now, look back at verse 16 and 17. He says, walk, and I would underline that in your Bible or write it down. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires, and I underline in that in my Bible, I encourage you to do the same in yours, or write that word down, what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. Now, let me teach you a few things that I picked up out of this passage. Flesh and desires. Underline them. Now, the walk. Let's look at walk for a second. Walk, it really literally means to walk around and to conduct yourself, and it's how you live habitually. Okay, so understand the definition of walk here. He says, walk by the Spirit. So be habitually living in the Spirit. Be walking around in the Spirit. Be conducting your life in the Spirit. In other words, he's not talking about one spiritual step on Sunday morning and then wandering off on Monday. He's talking about your everyday lifestyle, literally. Your everyday lifestyle. Walking in and by the Spirit isn't just about the goosebumps that you feel when the worship team hits a favorite song. And I don't know, some of you old timers may have just really got hit by some of those hymns we did today. I did. I liked it. Right. I liked it. We get those goosebumpies when, you know, when we get in and we get all the feels. That's not what we're talking about here. It's how you walk when your boss criticizes you unfairly. It's how you walk when your spouse misreads your tone. It's how you walk when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you're tempted to lay hands on them. Not in prayer. It's how you walk when something like this week happens and you get slammed on social media and you want to answer them back. You want to be sharp back with them. You want to just tell them the truth, minus the love. You want to tell them the truth in the flesh, right? So walk by the Spirit is speaking to, listening to, responding to the Spirit is a habit of your life. When you wake up in the morning, as you're going through your day, when you're driving in your car, when you're on social media, all of those things, when you're listening to, you're responding to, you're talking to the Spirit. Here's what I'll say. This is my opinion, which you didn't ask for. If you're wondering right now, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're wondering, you're not. If that's a wonder for you, I'm telling you now, you're not. Because a life that walks in the Spirit, it's an empowered life, and you know it. You know if you are and if you're not. You know it. So if you wonder. All right, now let's keep going. Now the word desire here, he's talking about your cravings, your passions. Desires themselves not necessarily are evil. This word doesn't necessarily indicate it's talking about evil. But they become sinful when they're ruled by our flesh nature. Do you understand what he's saying? And when they do, they'll pull us away from the Lord every time. See? All right, now, with these definitions, walking and the desires, here's how we could say this verse. Live your life every day. You live your everyday life in the power of the Spirit, and you won't be controlled by the cravings of your flesh. Because your flesh has cravings that pull against the Spirit, but the Spirit has cravings that pull you closer to God. Is that fair? I want you to think about Israel in Numbers 11, and we referred to Israel a couple times in this series. God gave them manna, the miracle bread from heaven, every morning. Clockwork. It was there. It was His faithfulness on display. But what did they start after a while, which they were grateful, right? But after a while, what happened? They got tired of it. God's provision they got tired of. And they started to complain. And they're like, we need some meat. We want some bacon. Give us some sausage. You know, we want some ham. We're tired of this miracle bread. Give us a cheeseburger. Now, that craving, their flesh nature took over that craving, and what happened? It's what led them, their complaining and rebellion led them into the wilderness, and they circled around for 40 years because they could never be satisfied with God's provision for their life. Now, that's what the flesh does. It makes you despise what God provides and crave what can't satisfy. That's what it does. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. And then verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now he's talking about evidence here. Now, what does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? What does that mean, Pastor? Literally there, that led is to be carried by the hand. And you've heard me say that before. This word just means to be led by the hand, to be let the Spirit grab your hand and lead you. The Spirit doesn't shove you. He doesn't prod you. He doesn't drag you along. He takes you by the hand like a father takes the hand of a child and leads them along. That's what he does. Here's the problem. Too many of us are trying to fight the flesh with the flesh. Bingo. We try to fight the flesh with the flesh. We've white-knuckled our way through temptation. We've been making promises, I'll do better, I'll try harder, I'll be stronger. And I just want to preach it plainly for you. The flesh cannot defeat the flesh. Sin cannot crucify sin. Willpower cannot resurrect what only the Spirit can breathe life into. Walking in the Spirit isn't about trying harder. It's about surrendering deeper. The illustration I thought of was you can't beat gravity by flapping your arms like a chicken. Shane, you'd try, can't you? We'd try, wouldn't we? We'd give it a good college effort, wouldn't we? How do you overcome gravity? You overcome it by strapping on a jet engine that's more powerful, can lift you off the ground. Something that's more powerful. When a plane takes off, listen, when a plane takes off, does gravity disappear? No. It's still pulling, but the power of that engine is greater than the pull of the earth. All right, now you can guess where I'm going. That's how the Spirit of God is in you and me. He's not just the wind beneath your wings, which I love that song, by the way. Makes me cry. He's the jet engine driving your life, if you let him. The pull of the flesh is still real. You'll have to deal with it. The pull of the flesh is real, but the power of the Spirit of God is greater. And when you walk with him, he will lift you higher than sin could ever drag you down. I want somebody to say, I've got Holy Spirit power. Will somebody say, I've got Holy Spirit power? We've got Holy Spirit power. I believe the Lord is wanting to say to some of us right now, you've been exhausting yourself trying to fight your battles on your own strength. You've been flapping your arms in frustration when God has given you wings to soar. His Spirit is the greater law at work within you. Stop fighting in the power of your flesh and start flying in His power within His Spirit. If you'll take His hand and walk with Him, He will break the cravings of the flesh. He'll silence the voices of condemnation and carry you where you could never carry yourself. Because the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit can set you free. Here's number two. The Spirit produces the fruit of freedom. The Spirit produces the fruit of freedom. Look at verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, before Paul puts this list out, we read it before, he puts out the list of the works of the flesh. In 19 and 21, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. Now, let's just be real for a second. You don't have to take a Greek class to figure out what that produces in your life. What sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. We know what it produces. It produces drama, regret, brokenness, and shame, and other things. But then Paul flips it and he says the Spirit produces something different. Now, fruit here, he's talking about the harvest of your life, the outcome, the evidence that will be seen in your life. Fruit, I'm going to tell you, fruit is what naturally grows out of the root. Notice Paul doesn't say the efforts of the Spirit. Notice he doesn't say the achievements of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit. Now there's a reason. There's a reason he uses that word. Fruit isn't achieved by effort. It's produced by abiding. Now, I said that exactly how I meant it, because we can get that wrong. See, we want to try to achieve fruit. We work to achieve fruit. But I'm telling you, we can't achieve fruit. Fruit is produced in our lives by abiding. Think about it. You've never walked past an apple tree and heard it groaning. I'm trying so hard to make apples. Never heard that. What happens is fruit shows up because the tree is rooted. It just shows up. It's a natural outflow of what's happening below the surface. It's a natural result. Okay. Some of us feel like or live like spiritual pear trees, trying to staple apples to our branches. And we'll wear ourselves out trying to look fruitful instead of actually being rooted. Psalm 1:3 says, "The righteous person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season." Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water. Its leaves are always green." And look at this. It never fails to bear fruit. Never fails to bear fruit. Do you understand what he's saying here? Fruit is not about striving. Fruit is about where you're planted and what you're planted in. The works of the flesh will drain you and produce no fruit. They'll leave you empty and unchanged. That's what the flesh does. The fruit of the Spirit, however, it will fill you, it will free you, and it's a proof that you belong to the Lord. Fruit is the evidence of root. Now, apply that to this nation and what we've experienced. I'm going to tell you the root of the problem is that we are not grounded in the truth of the Word of God. And I'm going to go a step further and I'm going to say churches across America are not grounded and not rooted in the truth of the Word of God. And we are living with the results of it. We're living in the results of a people who are not rooted. If you want to know what the issue is, look and see what the fruit is. Then you'll know immediately what the problem is. We don't have to wonder. The evidence is on the branch. The evidence is on the branch. Now here's the kicker. Paul says regarding the fruit, he says against such things, the fruit, there is no law. Translation, nobody can legislate love out of your heart. Nobody can outlaw your joy. Nobody can chain up your peace. The fruit of the Spirit is untouchable. It's unstoppable. It's undeniable. I'm telling you, you want a church on fire? You want a nation to turn around? You get the people of God rooted in the ways of God, rooted in the words of God. There is nothing that can stop the love of God from going forth in this nation for a people that are rooted in the Spirit of God. No one can take away our joy. No one can chain up our peace. We are untouchable, unstoppable, undeniable. There is nothing impossible for the believer rooted in the person of Christ. Nothing impossible. You cannot fulfill the purposes of God for your life in the power of the flesh, but you have to walk in and live in the power of the Spirit of God. If I could encourage you as your pastor, stop trying to manufacture fruit to prove yourself. We've tried it. It doesn't work. Stop trying to staple joy to your branches and call it freedom. It's not what it is. Everybody knows the difference. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you what? Remain in me, you will bear much fruit. No question about it. You will bear fruit. And then he says in the same breath, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Let it sink in, church. I'm telling you, let Jesus be your source, and he will make your life fruitful in ways that you could not imagine. You won't have to be running around working for it. You won't have to dress up for it. You won't have to put on the dog for it. It's not about your church attendance. It's not about how much you give. It's not about any of that. It's about how much you're rooted and you're abiding in the person of Christ, allowing the Spirit to control your life. That's it, period. Stay rooted in the Word. Let Jesus be your source. You do that, I'm going to make you a promise. And I don't have money to bet you, so I'm not doing it. But you stay rooted in the Word, and I guarantee you this, because it's not my guarantee, it's God's guarantee. You'll watch the love overflow out of your life where bitterness once lived. You got bitter and hate or unforgiveness in your heart, get rooted down deeper in the person of Christ and in His Word and by His Spirit, and you're going to watch that fade away. And you'll be like, what happened? I can't believe that I'm forgiving this person that hurt me. I can't believe that I'm saying this. I never thought I'd be able to do that. I'm telling you, you get rooted, you're going to watch Him do the fruit, not you. You're going to watch joy spring up where depression once weighed you down. You're going to watch peace settle where anxiety once ruled your mind. And you're going to watch self-control steady you where chaos once shook you. And your fruit won't be fake. It'll be lasting. It'll be Spirit-born. When the Spirit is the root, I didn't mean for this to rhyme, but it does. When the Spirit is the root, freedom is the fruit. That was pretty good, isn't it? I wasn't even trying. Here's number three. The Spirit leads us into victory in life. The Spirit leads us into victory and life. I want you to look at Romans 8 for a minute. You don't have to turn there. You can. It's on the screen. Romans 8, 12 through 14 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. We don't have an obligation there. In other words, it has no power over us. It doesn't have to make us do anything. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. If you willingly do, if you give over to it, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. See, now it's putting us there at the crossroads of this choice that we have to make. And we do have to make it, by the way. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, then he says they are children of God. All right, now, Paul says we have an obligation. We owe somebody. Okay. But you don't owe the flesh anything. You're not obligated. You know why? Because the flesh didn't save you. The flesh doesn't break your chains. The flesh doesn't call you a son or daughter. You owe your victory and your life, you owe it to the Spirit of God. Now, we already know what the word led means. To be led by the hand. To allow that. Not shoved. Not dragged. It's not tradition. It's not out of guilt because we've always done it. Not because, oh, my mama did that. My mama, we always went to church. We're going to church. No, it's not. Nuh-uh. That's man. That's flesh. Right? The Holy Spirit leads. Now, I want to show you something that I found unique when I was doing study this week in Hosea 11, and I want you to turn there. Hosea, I'm going to give you a chance to find it. It's in the backside of the Old Testament. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, you know, all those right there. Hosea 11. I want you to see it in your own, if you have your Bible. I want you to see it in print because this became a cross-reference for me. And it hit it home, and I'm going to bring it home to you. Hosea 11. Verse 3 and 4. It says this. Everybody with me? It was I, this is God talking, who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. I led them. Look at how he led them. How did God lead them? With cords of kindness and with bands of love. Now, I want you to think of the heart of God. He's telling them exactly. He's telling them how he led them. With cords of kindness, with bands of love. Look at this picture. I lifted them to my cheek and I bent down to feed them. I want you to get that image in your mind of God the Father lifting you up by your arms like a father does to a child and with gentleness and kindness leading. And when the going gets tough, he lifts you up and pulls you to his cheek. And then when he feeds, he bends down to where you are. To feed you. Do you get that imagery that God himself said about himself? Now, sometimes we picture God on the throne, judging, making hurricanes, drill sergeant, maybe. But I'm telling you right now, here's the picture that he wants you to see. He, not me, he. He's a father bending low, steady his toddler's first steps. He's holding your arms. He's pulling you close. He's feeding you when you can't feed yourself. Now, that's the string that Paul is pulling in Romans chapter 8. Paul is pulling that string. When he says, those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. It's less about your response to him and more about his response to you. Do you see that? The Spirit doesn't just point the way like a GPS. Go here, go here, go here, go here, go here. Do this, say that, do this. The Holy Spirit's going to take you by the hand and he's going to lead you and he's going to guide you. He's going to say, son, do you see this? Do you see that person? Do you see that need? I've given you provision. Go meet that need in my name. This hurt that you're feeling, Let me embrace you. Let me get you through this tragedy and this chaos that you're feeling. See, we're not alone. You're not. When the Spirit leads you, He leads you out of addiction and into freedom. Did you know that? When the Spirit leads you, He'll lead you out of fear. He'll lead you out of fear and into faith. When the Spirit is leading you, He'll lead you out of shame and into sonship or daughtership. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, you're letting Him lead you. You're going. Do you see how I'm going with it, right? When you see that? He leads you out of death into life. Here's something I want you to always remember. The Holy Spirit is not leading you into a neutral, sin-free zone. And a lot of times we think that if we just give our hearts to the Lord, we're going to be blessed and we're not going to have any trouble. We're going to be all right. We're going to be cushioned. Everything should go okay. My job should be all right. Everything should, my relationship. We just think we're going to get into this bubble. That's a cultural, traditional, false gospel. You know that, right? Pain and heartache come when you say yes to Jesus. You know you sign up for the hard road. You sign up for the hard road. The Holy Spirit's not leading you into a neutral, sin-free zone, but He's leading you into a God kind of life. Now, what's a God kind of life? What is it? A God kind of life is overflowing, it's eternal, it's abundant. You can live with wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken in a broken world. What the Spirit will do and what His job is to do is to make the life of Jesus real in the life of a believer. See, to someone who doesn't know Christ, Jesus is just a figure. He's just a man, a good one. He's a good teacher. He's got some good things to say. But when you let the Spirit of God lead you, I'm telling you, He's leading you to experience the life of Christ in your life. You understand what I'm saying? He's more than just a man then. That's when it becomes more. It's the Spirit that breaks the power of the flesh. It's the Spirit that produces fruit. And it's the Spirit that leads us to victory in life. You don't have to live chained anymore. You don't have to wear yourself out trying to look spiritual. 9 times out of 10, you're not fooling anybody anyway. You're probably doing a really bad job at it. Because here's the deal. If you're rooted in the Lord, fruit will grow. Period. It will grow. You don't have to stumble your way because the Father's there to lead you. Holding your hand, steady, pulling you in, feeding you. That's the life we were made for. That's the life we're made for. Not having to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps or live by our willpower. But we're made to run free in the Spirit. Here's the truth, and this is my close. You can't walk in the Spirit from a distance. Did you know that? Christianity, walking with the Lord, is not a spectator sport meant to be viewed from the stands. You can't walk with the Spirit if you don't take His hand. Now, do you know what it means to take His hand? It means that you have to make a deliberate choice to be led by the Spirit. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It's not automatic. Just because you've grown up in church your whole life does it mean, or that you're a Christian, says, oh yes, I'm led by the Spirit. Mm-mm. You might have the Spirit indwelling in you, but it's up to you whether you say, yes, Holy Spirit, you can lead me. I will go where you lead me. I've said this before, some of you, the Holy Spirit has your hand and He's dragging your butt all over the place because you refuse to get up and walk in the Spirit. You're being drugged in the Spirit, and I'm telling you, the Spirit doesn't drag you anywhere. He won't do it. He won't do it. That's not the kind of God He is. If you want to be in free, you have to walk and be led. Allow yourself to be led by the Spirit. Not only on Sunday mornings. It's not a Sunday morning gig. If that's all it is to you, it's not happening. I'm telling you, it's not happening. It's impossible. It's impossible. You have to allow yourself to be led. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying today, some of you, let go, surrender to me, take my hand, and walk with me. And I'm telling you, you will experience freedom in your life when you do that.